I've already said a few times today, it's just a privilege to be here, to be a part of this church. Amen. God's good. I tell you, it's good to hear Brother Glenn up here singing in the choir. I thought he kicked Brother Neff out, so I was trying to put it all together. I forgot Brother Neff's voice is damaged right now. Amen. So it's good to see him up there singing. It's good to hear the wonderful songs of Zion. Amen. You know, it's amazing that the world, think of all the songs that are sung every day, go across the airways. I mean, you turn the radio on, it's a non-stop thing. It's just music plays, music here. You look down the road and you have teenagers, what we would say, even my generation, you know, 26, I ain't too young, but you know, you got the earphones in, it's constant flow of music. But you have to think, I wonder how much of it actually gives glory to the Lord. Amen? That's what true worship does. It is nothing about us. You know, we got to be careful in our worship. There's a fine line, and maybe I'll get to teach or preach on it sometime here soon. But there's a line of it in the church movement. It's nothing spiritual about it. It just comes out of the soul. It's about human will and self-will. That is a soulish worship which we must be on guard against. But there is a spiritual worship. Amen. I enjoy when somebody's truly worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been to services out in the middle of nowhere, as you would say. I remember going to a church in the backwoods of Ohio. And I mean, I'm telling you, it's backwoods there. And it's a free holiness movement, which means they believe that you do what you want to do pretty much. They'll pray at the beginning of the service and say, you just obey the Lord. And if you feel like singing, you're going to sing. Amen. It's just sometimes you'll be in there 2 hours, hour and a half before they quit singing. And I can't say I agree with all of it, but I'll tell you one thing, they worship the Lord. I've seen some of them couldn't carry a tune in the bucket and would probably drop the bucket along with it. Amen. Yeah, some of them don't sing E flat. They just sing E and they flatten it themselves. Amen. It's rough. But you know what? I'll tell you one thing. I've been in some of them services and you can tell on their countenance. You can tell everything about them. They're putting 100% in it. Amen. One man's, I don't know if he wrote it or not, he sang a song on 99 and a half won't do. I've never heard it before, but he sang it and sang it and sang it. And he was giving it 100, I promise you that. But it's just good to see sincere worship. And I tell you, I love to elevate the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing about lifting Him up. But it's just a privilege to be here. God bless you. And I was here when y'all had to sing in recently, so I know who can sing now. So I will forewarn you. Prepare. I'll let you know before I'd ever just throw you up here. My wife gets aggravated when I do that to her, so I wouldn't do it to somebody else's wife because I know the consequences. Amen. God bless you. Book of Matthew chapter 15. And I'm just going to deal with the subject tonight I feel is needful. Matthew 15 tonight, we're going to start reading in verse 21. If you're there, give me a good hearty amen. All right. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21, this is how it reads. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from the very hour. Amen. I'm going to deal with this subject tonight on this idea of the point of confession. It's that point and that place in your life where you learn to just be open and transparent with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I'm not Catholic today. You ain't going to tell me anything. Amen. I know they feel that you can sit in that little booth and just, you know, I don't know how all of it works, to be honest with you. I'm not sure about that. But there is a certain place in your prayer life that you have to remain open to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Every time you come to an altar, every time you make an altar, or if you build an altar or not, you're an open book before the Lord. Amen. You know that? There is no secrets. There is nothing hidden from Him. So I just want to deal with this today. I believe it will enhance your spiritual walk. Just give me a few moments. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we do love You and thank You for this opportunity to be here in the house of God. We thank You, Lord, for this privilege, Lord, to open this divine Word. God, Your Word is wonderful. God, Your Word is nourishment for our spiritual life. And we cannot live without it. I understand this today, God. I need Your anointing. I need You to touch my lips, God, and touch the ears of this congregation. Oh, in the name of Jesus, when we come to these altars tonight and begin to talk to You, let us understand this concept of confession and talking to You, God, and being open and honest before the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, and give You all the glory, the honor, and praise for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, Amen. Unfortunately, the concept of confession in the modern church world has become a negative thing. For many, the idea of being open and being honest before the Lord Jesus Christ, or even being open with others, it seems to be a very difficult thing in our life. I can just be transparent and talk to you from my own prayer life. There's been times that I've gotten down and it seemed like the heavens were brass. It seems as if my words wouldn't go no further than the ceiling. But there's also been times I've got down and prayed and just really begin to pour out to the Lord and talk to Him on the level of what I really needed. I begin to get down and I didn't go there with a religious prayer. I didn't get down there with a know-it-all attitude. I simply got down a few times and simply said this, Lord, I don't even know what to ask for. Lord, I don't even understand why I'm feeling the way that I'm feeling or why I'm facing the things that I'm facing. And I will promise you this. I know there's times to go through dry spells, but if you learn to be honest before the Lord and talk to Him, I'm telling you, friend, He'll meet you there in a special way. He'll meet you there in a way that is just almost a breakthrough, so to speak. You say, well, Brother Derek, why do I need to confess unto the Lord? Why do I need to talk to Him when He already knows everything? Well, why do I have to do that? Because, friend, that is how prayer is designed. It is about us going to the Lord. It's about us being futile and weak and going before the throne of God. And as the Bible would say, casting all of your cares upon Him because He careth for us. We must understand this as a believer. A Spirit-orchestrated confession is an essential instrument in the toolbox of the mighty Christian. Without it, the soul grows stiffened and weak and strays from the sure footing of Scriptures. You understand that as a believer, this is a great privilege for us to be able to talk to the Lord and to confess unto Him. You understand today that when us as believers and human beings, that we have this great honor and privilege, you have to understand that animals can't confess. You know, they are designed in some way and form like you, maybe physically. I know evolutionists believe we come from monkeys. Well, I hope not. That's pretty crazy, isn't it, to think that we come from something like that. Or evolutionized from an animal. It's good to know that we were created in the image of God. We're separate. We're different. We have an understanding. We have a spiritual understanding to know that He is our Creator. You understand, an animal has a tongue just like you do, but he cannot confess. Understand, a dog can bark, but he cannot confess. Understand, the animals can do different things, but you as a believer and as a human being has the opportunity, you have the privilege of going before the Lord with the understanding of who He is, and you can confess unto Him, and you can talk to the Savior, you can repent of your sins, you can go closer to the Lord, you can find aid when you need help. Understand, even angels and demons, and the Bible tells us in a form, they desire to look into the things that we are a part of. Yes, I understand that. We understand that angels can say, holy, holy, holy. They can confess that God is holy, but there's a certain part of their life that they're not like we are. They cannot get down and have that intimate communion. I mean, think about it. We get to walk right before the throne room of God, and we're able to talk to Him. I don't know anything more beautiful than that, to be able to open to Him and be able to talk to Him. Understand, the life of a believer is hinged on this. When you're looking for salvation, you simply confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior, that He died from your sins, and upon that confession, you are born again. You are saved through faith. Understand, even maintaining your salvation. Oftentimes, you find yourself having to confess your weakness, having to confess your needs. Understand this, friend, with your just relationships, even in your own life. You understand that even in your marriage, a lot of times, that what makes your marriage work is that you're vulnerable to each other. That you confess to one another. It ain't too long before I could look at my wife and she's going through something and I could ask her, tell me what's going on. I can see it. I can tell something is there. I can tell something is bothering you. And there me and her can have that sweet communion. But likewise, as a believer, that we are the bride of Christ, we can talk to Him. We can be open to Him. We can be somebody that goes to Him and He knows when you're going through something. He knows that when you're fighting the devil and fighting the enemy. Understand this, friend, that confession is something that is needful and is something that keeps you moving in the kingdom of God. Amen. Now we look at this story in Matthew chapter 15, and I want to point out some things that I feel will be helpful to you. In this place in Jesus' ministry, we know that in His early ministry, in the early part of His ministry, we know that He started off in Judah and Jerusalem, that area. We know He received rejection there. They did not accept His message. And we know that He traveled north into the northern part of Israel there, and there He began to do His ministry in Galilee. And when He went to Galilee, it seemed like He was welcomed with open arms. It seemed like everybody just loved Him and loved His teachings. He was able to do mighty things among them. But it wasn't long before the religious leaders would begin to sway the people even there. They would begin to have their foothold even in Galilee. And this caused Jesus to withdraw for a season. This caused Him, when you study this story here in Matthew chapter 15, it says all of a sudden when you read the story here, it says then Jesus went thence. He just had a confrontation against the scribes and the Pharisees. And the Bible says then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. You read in the book of Mark, it's a parallel story, that He went, He was trying to hide Himself for a season. He went and sat in a house. He was trying to maybe have a time of just relaxation, getting away from everything. But the Bible tells us in the book of Mark that He could not be hid. There was this woman here. There was this Canaanitish woman. We understand that this woman had a great need. Her daughter was vexed with the devil. I mean, literally, it seemed to be something that was so prevalent, so bad, that she had to find help. I begin to study the story a little bit. No doubt this Canaanitish woman, who was just a heathen. I mean, when you study the Canaanites and their ways, they were just horrible heathen. They did wicked things. They were idolatrous. They did things that were unmentionable. But this woman here heard about Jesus. Isn't this amazing to think about? When you study the story here, Tyre and Sidon, the coast of that, is about 30 miles above Galilee. That meant it was a good little journey there. That meant that Jesus actually went out of His way to go there. He went out of His way to try to get away from everybody. But I'm telling you, friend, it was amazing to me when I began to study the story that the Bible says He could not be here, except this Canaanitish woman heard of Jesus. I don't know how she heard of Jesus. Hey, it's not mentioned to us in Scripture. I mean, maybe one day she was walking down the road somewhere and seen a little girl that used to be blind. This is just my imagination. And maybe she asked her, "You used to be blind. How did you get healed?" And all of a sudden, maybe that little girl looked at him and said, "There's a man named Jesus Christ. He says He is the Son of God." I understand. I don't know how she heard about Him, but His fame went before Him. And here, when He went to withdraw Himself for a season, this Canaanitish woman came unto Him. She was of that accursed race. She came to Him and said, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me, for my daughter is vexed with the devil." Amen. Now, this was unexpected by the disciples. But I do not believe it was unexpected by our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it through the disciples. Maybe they thought to themselves, "Man, we get to get away for things for a little bit. Man, we get to go all the way up here to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. We get to lay back in a hammock, so to speak, kick back a little R&R." But all of a sudden, when Jesus is in this house, He's sitting there trying to get away from everything. I believe this was a divine appointment. And as I studied the story, I believe myself that maybe Jesus went 30 miles out the way for this one woman. You understand, as soon as He did this miracle, as soon as this happened, you'll find that He went back towards Galilee. He went back towards the capitalist there. So I want to just present this to you today. I want to talk about a few different things, three different things. I want to talk about the prayer of this woman. I want to talk about the second thing, her perseverance and discouragement. And the third thing I want to deal with is this: what was Jesus trying to show us in this story? When we look at the prayer of this woman, woman in the Bible. You'll find it there in your Bible in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 22. And it said, "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." When you look at this prayer, you don't see anything wrong with it. Be honest with you, it's actually a beautiful prayer in Scripture. I'm going to break it down. The prayer is simply saying this. She's asking God to have mercy on me. That is an appeal unto Jesus Christ. She refers to Him as thou son of David. That is the title of who He really is. And she brings us to Him. My daughter is vexed with the devil. And this brings her needs to Him. And you know what the results of the prayer was? It says that Jesus answered her not a word. Now you answer the question for me. What's wrong with her? What was wrong with her prayer? Nothing. You understand that in the Bible there is an identical prayer prayed by this man called blind Bartimaeus in the book of Mark. I'm just going to read it to you. Hear me. "And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Identical to what she said. That identical almost to the word. And Jesus stood still for blind Bartimaeus and commended him and called him. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way. That faith has made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Two identical prayers, but two very different answers. I just want this to resonate here, because this is where I'm going somewhere. The woman's over here and says, "Thou son of David, show mercy on me." And Jesus just stands there. Don't say anything. But over here, you have blind Bartimaeus. I mean, he can't even see Jesus. Maybe he's crying in the wrong direction. I don't know. "But thou son of David, have mercy on me." And immediately, God answered his prayer. Has anybody found a difference yet? Understand, this is something I believe God is trying to show us. Their prayer is identical. Their prayer, I mean, same thing. There's nothing wrong with the prayer. The problem was within who they are. Hear me. This woman is saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." But she's not a Jew. This woman's praying a religious prayer. I don't know where she heard it from. I don't know. Maybe one day she sat there and heard a Pharisee talk about the son of David. I don't know where she heard this prayer from. She said, "Thou son of David," this was a Jewish prayer. She tried to approach the Lord Jesus Christ like she was a Jewish woman. She didn't approach Him just like she was. She was trying to pray like somebody else prayed. I'm going to show you this in Scripture. Hear me. Two prayers identical. Different answers. Understand this today. This shows us something about this. This shows us that Jesus knows who we really are. You cannot pray like anybody else. You can't pray like you heard somebody on the radio. You can't pray like somebody, like a pastor. You can't pray like your favorite preacher. There comes a place in your life that you've got to be transparent. It doesn't matter. I've seen people before pray some beautiful prayers. I didn't feel an ounce of the anointing 100 miles from there. I'm telling you, friend, it's more than just a deciding something. It's more than just knowing the verse of Scripture, but it's got to come from your heart, and you've got to learn to be personal with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now understand this. I don't know something more frustrating to me than being ignored. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, when you're trying to get somebody's attention and they're talking to everybody else, but they just ain't like, it's like they don't even hear you. Amen. I know if you've been married long enough, it happens. And it's not a bad thing. It just does. There's been many of times my wife says, "Derek, I told you that." Maybe not in that tone. "Derek, I told you." And I said, "I didn't hear you say it." You looked at me and nodded your head. That happens probably once a week. And maybe more. When my brain gets rolling, friends, it's hard to get things in. I'm not a multitasker. Amen. You know, you look nowadays, you see somebody driving with the cell phone and earphones in their ears and turning the radio, and I said, I'd be dead. I couldn't make it. I'm not a multi. I'm just not really extremely good at multi. I have to focus in. But understand this woman here, and this is what it says. I want to look at her perseverance and discouragement. The first thing I want to show you here, she prayed a legit prayer. She called Him the Son of David. She brought her need to Him. And the Bible says, He answered her not a word. First thing that she persevered through was this. She persevered through silence. How many times have you prayed and asked God for something and it was just quiet? I mean, you were expecting the heavens to rend, for Gabriel to come down, shake your hand and say, here it is, friend. And all of a sudden, it's not there. Your faith is being tried. But this woman, understand this. This woman, even though the Lord Jesus Christ didn't answer her a word, she kept on saying, Thou Son of David. To the place that even this, understand, that the disciples came and besought the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Send her away, for she cried after us. Pretty much the Lord was saying, Give her what she wants. She's about to drive me up the wall. I was at a restaurant one time and there was a kid in the booth beside us. And I said, Dear Lord, give him that toy. I said, please. I mean, it's ruined the meal. You know, it just seemed like it just kept getting louder and louder. And I thought to myself, just please give him what he wants. Amen. That's what these disciples were going through. They're sitting there. They're trying. This is their time of all and all, right? I mean, relax, you know, relaxation there. I mean, it'd be like the nurse being in California and somebody pestering the whole time. It'd be aggravating. But all of a sudden, the disciples are here. We're getting away. You've got this woman saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. The context of Scripture shows us that she continued to cry after her. And then the disciples said, Just simply get rid of her. There's a similar situation in the Bible when a widow woman comes to an unjust king. And she said, Avenge me my adversaries. She said, Avenge me my adversaries. And that unjust king, he could have cared less about her adversaries, but he said, Because of her importunity, you're basically saying, Because she will not leave me alone, I'm going to give her what she wants. I'm telling you, prayer, there's a time in prayer that you may get down and pray and don't hear nothing, you don't see anything, but I'm telling you, pray again. You say, Fred, I don't understand that sometimes. Isn't that a lack of faith? No, it's not. There's sometimes you've got to continue to have. There's sometimes you've got to continue to knock. There's sometimes you must bombard heaven with your prayers and your petitions, and God will move on your behalf. So the next thing that she persevered through was discouragement of the disciples telling her to be quiet. I know some of us may put in prayer requests sometimes, and somebody might say they put in the same one all the time. Keep putting it in. Keep putting it in. People, it doesn't matter what those around you may think. Understand this as we go on in Scripture. In Matthew 15 and 24, it says this, But after the disciples had said unto Jesus, Send her away, for she cried after us. The Bible says, But he answered and said unto the disciples, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So not only is he ignoring her, but now he's talking to the people that are beside her. Now that just drives me up the wall. Hey, I'm over here. I've been trying to get your attention for hours, and all of a sudden the disciples say one thing and you answer them. Understand, she persevered through this. Basically, I want this to get in your mind and understand this. What was Jesus trying to show us? This woman had every reason to give up. This woman had every reason to quit. But I believe with all of my heart that Jesus was trying to teach us something. He was trying to get this woman to that place of submission. We can understand this. That when He answered and said unto His disciples, I am sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I believe that was she heard those words, I believe it began to come to her mind, He knows who I am. She probably thought to herself, I'm here the whole time praying a Jewish prayer, trying to act like a Jew. He knows I'm not a Jew. He knows I'm not one of them. Understand this,
What is Jesus trying to show us here? The very first thing is this, is that He knows all about us. God never has to guess. He never has to look at you and wonder. He knows all about you. He knows all about your situation. He knows all about your turmoil. He knows all about your trial. He can look at you and recognize these things. He knows all about us. The next thing we can understand is this. As soon as Jesus said this, that she realized that her prayer was not working, she realized that she was approaching God in the wrong manner. Understand this. Then the Bible said she came and worshipped Him, saying, "Lord, help me." Now get this in your mind. When she came to Jesus, after Jesus said that, and she realized that He knew who she really was, she quit and she aborted her religious act, so to speak. So all of a sudden, she quit saying, "Thou Son of David." She quit trying to make the prayer look pretty. She quit trying to sit there and trying to put on this act. And the Bible said that she worshipped Him. That word worship in the Bible, it means to reverence. It means to homage yourself. It means literally, when you look it up in the Greek, it means a dog licking his master's hand. That's what it says. That's the actual definition. You ever had an animal before that licked your hand? I used to have a chocolate lab, man. He was my friend. You know, man's best friend. And I'd be sitting out in the yard or something. He'd come up, lick my hand, and look at me with them big old eyes. And pretty much what he was saying is, "I desire your affection. Throw the tennis ball, Derek. Spend some time with me, man. Take your time." He was trying to get my attention. That is the same idea as worship. It's when you set yourself aside. It's when you're looking up to heaven and you're saying, "God, I'm here. I am needy. Spend some time with me. I need your help. I need your encouragement. I need your touch." Bible says she worshipped Him and said, "Lord, help me." This was a sincere plea. Surely He would answer this prayer. Not only did she abort the religious act, but she worshipped Him. She said, "Lord, help me." But understand what the Bible said. But He answered her not a word. Now, often you look at this story and you think, "Jesus, let up a little bit." I mean, this woman is trying hard. She's got a need. I mean, you've already said that, you know, that she wasn't worthy of the bread. You already said she didn't deserve this. You already pretty much said, "I know who you are." You already ignored her. What is the Lord trying to teach us? And the Bible said this. He finally answered her and said this. But He answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." Wow. You say, "Well, Brother Derek, what about her self-esteem? What about her self-esteem? What do you think? What the TV evangelists say? What was Jesus trying to say?" He had a purpose. He was trying to get her to the place that not only did He realize who she was, but He was trying to get her to realize who she was. Hear me today, friend. When He said this to her, basically, He was calling her a dog. You say, "Well, Brother Derek, if I get down to pray and He ignores me, and then He answers somebody's prayer beside me, and then on top of that, He calls me a dog, I think I'm a quit." But we understand that the idea of calling her a dog wasn't the idea of calling her a dog like nowadays. He wasn't calling her a mutt or nothing. But if you were not of the house of Israel, you were considered a dog. You were considered somebody that was outside of the covenant. But I want to show you this right here. He said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." He was saying, "You're a dog. You're not a Jew. You are an unclean Gentile." Most likely 95% of people would have said, "That's it. After you cross the line, I'm not going any further." But all of a sudden, this woman looked at Jesus and she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Let me put it in our language. You're a dog. She looks at the Lord and says, "You're right." Do you get this? Do you understand, friend, that this is something we must get in our spirit? When you enter your prayer closet, or when you go before the Lord, or when we come to church, There's nothing good other than what God has done in your life. There's nothing that you can offer Him but a living sacrifice, but your life. Everything that's good in you is because God made it good. He may look at Derek Jones one day and say, "Brother, I may get down to pray." And it was just recently I got down and prayed at a youth meeting, and the Lord dealt with my heart and said, "Derek, you have been loose with your tongue." Let me tell you what I did. I'm just not bragging. I said, "Lord, you're right. I have. Forgive me." You understand that this modern idea of this is that Jesus would never get that personal, get that blunt with us. There's times, friend, that God's going to look at you and say, "You were doing this." And the best thing for you to do is say, "Lord, you are right." Amen. Do you tell how many people would probably truly get born again in these altars? If they came in here and was a drug addict, and they came to the altars and said, "You know what? I am a drug addict." Amen? I mean, this generation's been given everything a professional name, you know. If you, used to be you were a drunkard, now you're an alcoholic. Like you're a mechanic or something, you know. It's just like a job title. I mean, they got a syndrome for everything. I heard recently there's a teen texting syndrome. I mean, think about this. In a generation that's constantly trying to label things with this and label things with that, it would be good if we would just get to the place that we take all these titles, we throw them to the side, we go to an altar and say, "God, you're right, I'm a sinner. This is what I am." How many perverted minds would be healed if they would learn to come to the altar and say, "Lord, you're right. I struggle with that. That's me. That's what I am." This woman here, when the Lord called her a dog, she said, "You're right, Lord. That's what I am. That's who I am. I'm truly what you say I am." But we go on and the Bible says, she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." He was getting her to a place of confession, where she was so transparent with God that she said, "This is what I am. This is what I really am." What she was saying is this: Lord, what you say is true, but the dogs beneath the table eat the crumbs. So let me be regarded as a dog, as a heathen, as somebody that is unworthy of everything. Yet grant me this one wish. Show me your power in this area. Yes, that's what I am, but I need you to move. I need you to help me. I need you to intervene in this situation. She was basically saying, "I claim nothing as the daughter of Abraham. I am looking, just look for the small mercies which fall from your table." Look, friend, I know a lot of times in this hyper-faith movement, in this world, we're constantly looking for this and looking for that. But there's sometimes, friend, you may just get a few crumbs, but it'll be enough to make it through the week. There may be times you have to get on your hands and knees. And you have to understand this. That there's times you have to get to a low place in your prayer life and in your walk with God. By doing this, Jesus Christ was humbling her. He was educating her. And He told her that a real plea was for her unworthiness. Not just, I want everybody to examine themselves. When is the last time you went to your prayer closet and you approached the Lord unworthily? I know you're worthy by the blood of Jesus. I know that. But when's the last time you went? I know we're joint heirs with Christ. I'm not trying to discourage that. But when's the last time we went there and we didn't have one preconceived idea? We got down to pray and said, "Lord, guess what? You're right. It's been a tough week. I need your help. Lord, you're right. I'm fighting the devil in my mind. Now I need your grace to help me." Understand this. Once she learned to confess, this gave an immediate response from our Lord Jesus Christ. Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Once she learned to abort the religious act, she wasn't praying like a Jew. She was praying openly and saying, "This is what I am. This is what I'm going through. This is what I'm facing." And immediately, the Lord intervened in her life. Immediately. Not only that, He just had to leave Galilee because of everybody's unfaithfulness and not believing in Him. But this heathen dog came and showed great faith to those disciples. I went to a church and preached in a different state. I've never met a more arrogant spirit in my life. I had preached and I could tell, you know, nobody, it was miserable. I could just tell there was no welcoming spirit there. And at the end of the service, as we went out to eat, and I heard the same individual mention things like this. He said, "We don't need to pray, we pray at home." Another evangelist I know went to the same area, ran into the same problem, and just through word of mouth, I heard that that preacher told that evangelist, "We live close enough to God, we don't need to pray." I thought to myself, he set himself up and his church up for destruction. I'm going to be honest with you, church. I need God's help. I'm going to be honest with you, church. I want to live closer to the Lord. I'm going to be honest with you, church. I want to be open before Him. As I stand before you today as a pastor, I want to be open before the Lord. I don't have all the answers. I don't have everything fixed together. But I can point you to one that does. I know there's one I can go to and get wise counsel and get my answers from heaven. This found an immediate answer from heaven. Understand that confession throughout Scripture is something that we must live by. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Understand the Bible also says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. You remember the story of that Pharisee going up to the temple to pray? And he prayed something like this. "I'm glad I'm not like that guy over there. I'm glad I ain't in that shape. Man, that'd be rough. God, I'm glad I'm right where I'm at." Then the Bible tells us that other man, that publican, that person that was considered a heathen or a sinner, said this, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The Bible says he leaves the temple more justified than the Pharisee. You can also read throughout Scripture a man of Paul's caliber in the Bible. What a man of God. He went up to the third heaven, seeing visions that he couldn't even write about. But what made that man in Romans 7 and 24 say this, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death," finding there is no hope in himself. He was simply saying, "Yes, Lord, I'm a dog." He was saying, look, you read Romans chapter 7 in your own time, study it. He presents that hopelessness there of the flesh. He presents there, there's no good. He said, there's nothing here. There's nothing good in me. There's things that I would do, I do not. There's things that I do, I don't. I mean, it's just a confusing chapter. But he gets to the end and he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." But he don't leave us there, does he? Who should have? And he goes on to say this, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." He was saying, "Look, I'm wretched. Look, I'm miserable. Look, I'm a dog. Look, I have these things and temptations and thorns in my life. Look, I am susceptible to sickness. Look, I am susceptible to all these different things. But my Lord Jesus Christ, who shall deliver me?" He says, "I thank the Lord for Jesus Christ." That point of confession in your life where you learn just to be transparent before the Lord. I dare you to try it. I dare you to try it. When you come and pray tonight here in a few moments, get down before the Lord. Don't just go to the Lord and say, "Look, Lord, thank you for a good day. It's been good. You know, I'm making it. Thank you, Lord." Get down there and say, "God, I need you." If you're sick in body here today, I challenge you. Get down and pray and say, "Lord, I'm sick and I need to be healed. This is what I am." If you're struggling here today, you can get down and pray and say, "God, I'm struggling." If there's unconfessed sin, you ain't got to tell me about it. Get down and confess it to the Lord. Confession is a very powerful thing.
How many times have we been guilty? Myself included, as my wife ready to come to the piano. How many times have we been guilty? I've done it before. I've got down and prayed. And I said the Lord's Prayer. I said it. And I got up and said, Lord, I just appreciate that. And Lord, all that you meant there in that prayer. And I mean, it's just, you know. And you get there and I just out of routine, I'll do that. But there has been times I've got down and said, Lord, I need you. If you've got lost loved ones here today, guess what? I want you to confess it to the Lord. If you're frustrated about something in life, I challenge you, confess it to the Lord. Stand to your feet here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord.